There were several guys that were held out for spring that I think can make an impact this fall.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. We get so excited over names that stand out in spring, and we kind of forget about guys that were held out. We forget about guys that were injured, that didn't get to participate, didn't get the headlines, and there's several that we're going to go over today that I think will make a big impact. We'll stand to make a big impact this fall. We'll break down those. Was there a hoop signal as to which direction Auburn will go to finish off this roster yesterday? We'll talk about that, and then we'll give out our Jack Arse of the Week award. But let's dive right in. Look, again, like I said, we're fired up about Byron Brown. We're fired up about Keyshawn Singleton. We're fired up about Cody Sigler and Jared Smith and all these guys that did things throughout spring and did things in the spring game that oohed and made us ooh and ah and get us excited. But there's a lot of guys that were just simply held out all spring that I think are going to play a major factor in these lineups in fall, like when they get back to full speed. Now, full disclosure, it doesn't seem like anyone that was held out has anything that's mega serious. I know Christian Neptune was probably the most serious one, and we're going to talk about him in just a second. But for the most part, it was a lot of precautionary stuff, a lot of working back after some type of off-season procedure type stuff. Honestly, for the most part, spring, we're really blessed with injuries. Like there was not really any significant ones to speak of. And like there's teams all across the country that lost key guys for the season, you know, during their spring. So from that standpoint, excuse me, obviously Auburn dodged several bullets there. So let's start at the top. And the most obvious one, Stanton Ramil, your left tackle. There was some concern at times with the offensive line. There was a lot of mixing and matching. And you're doing all of that without essentially your feature piece of the puzzle that's not even playing right now. You know, he was hurt last year and missed, you know, most of the year at Michigan State. The year prior, he played a ton, 613 snaps. And he's a guy that Auburn picked out and said, hey, we think he's young. He's got a couple of years left. He's talented. There's an Alabama connection. He obviously went to, Thompson High School. Like there's so many different pros in the category. There's so many different pros in the plus category for this kid. It makes a lot of sense. But he didn't play all spring. Right? He dressed out a few times, but never really went through full contact. Was working a lot on, you know, coming back when they would work in the indoor with running and agility and really just rehabbing. That's what he was doing mostly. So we haven't even seen the offensive line at full strength. So don't forget about Stanton Ramil. That's really the most obvious one. You know, you're essentially your starting left tackle. And I think that's what he'll be penciled in as soon as he gets back, which I would imagine full speed probably this summer would be very attainable, and then full speed when fall camp starts. So that's definitely one to watch. We talk about the linebacker room, man, and we gush over the linebacker room, and we haven't even gotten to see DeMarcus Riddick all spring. You know, he had that labrum. I think he was either a labrum or rotator cuff. Maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. He had a shoulder procedure, okay? And I think the shoulder was banged up a lot last year. When you hear Golish talk about defense and you talk about Durkin and philosophies and how he wants his defense to take more chances, take more risks, get them more possessions. When I hear that, I think DeMarcus Riddick. I don't know why. Because of, I think back to that freshman year when he was sort of a gadget guy, but he just made plays. And it seemed like every play he would make would be a big tackle, you know, a big tackle for loss, whether it be a sack or a running back in the backfield, struggling, people struggling to be able to get to the edge on him when he's out there. This room's deep. Those top three guys are mega talented. You don't play a lot of linebackers on the field at the same time. But DeMarcus may – there could be an argument that he may be the most athletically gifted of that group. I think Bryce Diaz is probably of the healthy guys. He's probably the most athletically gifted. That doesn't necessarily mean he's the best. He may have the most athletic ability of the healthy guys. He and DeMarcus Riddick would be a good 1-2 right there. I think DeMarcus could give him a run for the money. So him fully healthy, philosophy change, more aggressive, get after the quarterback, who knows what kind of role that he could play next year. So that's one. I mean, that just beefs up that room even more to just kind of continue to rotate out super fresh guys. Champ Anthony, he got back to full speed with, what, like three practices left? But I don't think he played in the spring game still. I still don't know what 100% what we have in Champ yet. He was playing at a very, very high level at corner slash nickel when he had that gruesome injury 2 years ago. And then last year he was moved to safety and we were all really excited about it, got hurt super early. But I think he struggled a little bit too, especially in that Baylor game. But everybody struggled in that Baylor game in the secondary. They kind of got torched. Another veteran presence, another leader adding into that back end. And remember, when we're talking about most talented position groups on the team, you make a really good argument to start with linebacker and safety. So now you just potentially bring back another guy that has the potential to be an SEC player on that back end. That linebacker and safety room is a lot of fun. So Champ Anthony could definitely make an impact. His was mostly what he hurt his. I know he hurt his hand and stuff like that. I think he'll be full speed. I mean, he was basically let go to be full speed towards the end of practice. So definitely when summer rolls around, he'll be ready to go. Jonathan Echols is an interesting one. Okay, tight end transfer from South Florida. If you look at the tight ends, just look across the board and you're looking at guys off the hoof, very, very impressive looking kid, man. 6'5-ish, 6'6", probably 230, 240 pounds, runs really, really good. He struggled with some drops at times from the practices that we saw. But again, I don't know what the injury is. I don't know what was exactly holding him out. He wasn't doing full contact, so he was just kind of going against air at times. Does the physical aspect, being able to hit, being able to, you know, absorb contact, does that help his game? Does that hurt his game? I don't know 100% what to expect from him. I just know that he is physically and athletically a very, very impressive guy. So having him with, you know, the jersey off and ready to go, the orange jersey off and ready to go, could, you know, spice up that tight end room even more. So Jonathan Echols is definitely one. We talked about Christian Neptune, man. Christian Neptune, I didn't realize he had almost 350 yards receiving last year. I think he finished with 335 yards receiving, was a pretty integral part of that offense at South Florida, threw a touchdown. He threw a touchdown to Keyshawn Singleton in a game. Had one touchdown. He had, let's see, his best game was against Old Dominion, and everybody was kind of sitting out, remember, in that game. Golish was not there, but he had 9 catches for 102 yards in that particular game. Had 5 catches for 39 yards against Florida, 7 catches against Miami. So he's played against, you know, the top-level competition, and I would say, just based off what we saw in early practices, he was probably in line to be the punt returner. And then I would say behind Nimrod probably as first slot guy. You know, him going down is what got Deshaun Spencer a little bit more playing time. And Bryce Kane got those guys more reps. I think they really like Christian Neptune. I think he can be a weapon. So that's going to be one to definitely remember, because we only saw him for such a very short period of time. He missed – that was the first scrimmage when he hurt his shoulder. And then he had the procedure done, and he missed essentially all of spring. So they said, now he's going to be one that's going to be closer to fall camp being, you know, back to full speed. So does that, you know, put him behind a little bit? Something to watch. But those are guys – that's 5 guys right there, man, that all, we're not talking about like way down the line reserve players. We're talking about guys that are going to play snaps next year that we didn't get to see any of or very, very little of in spring. Let me know what you think about those, which one you think is the most important, which one you think is going to make the biggest impact. There may have been a signal yesterday, again, on how what direction Auburn's going to go to finish off the portal. We'll talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, got to give a shout-out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care over in Opelika off of Pepperell Parkway in Veterans. It's not about the first visit, guys. It's not about going in and they're like, man, you got to change this air filter, got to change this belt, got to change this hose, got to do this, got to do that. All the things that happen every time else you go somewhere just to change your oil. Okay, they're going to be honest with you. You're going to get a full 360-degree inspection with videos, pictures, explanations of anything that's possibly going wrong, and they'll kind of rate it for you, let you know how serious it is. It's all about hospitality, man. It's all about building that relationship and, you know, being there for the, again, the 10th visit and beyond, and not just to get as much out of that first visit. So check them out. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then, obviously, you got to go to buyauburn.com. If you got a business and you're an Auburn fan, Auburn alumni, you want to list your business here, because we're shouting this from every single show to Auburn fans to go support Auburn businesses. If you say you're part of the Auburn family and you love the Auburn family, then do business with Auburn people, dadgummit. Go to buyauburn.com today. We'll be back right after this. So remember, we talked about Steven saying he wanted one more. Got to add one more, and we feel like the roster is complete. And we talked about 2 guys that were the most commonly talked about names. You got Mantis Rubštavičius, which would be the European guy. I think he's from Lithuania. That there are some eligibility things they're trying to work through. And when this new five-to-play-five rule came out, there was no necessarily intel to say that shut her down, but it feels like it was going to make it a little bit tougher for that to actually happen, because he's about to turn 24. So you're thinking, you know, maybe they'll turn to Dwayne Aristode really quickly and, you know, potentially get him, because those were the two names, Mantis and Aristode. Well, yesterday, I think Aristode committed to Oregon. Now, I don't know if he signed, but he committed to Oregon. And I feel like in that situation, he would have rather been at Auburn, if you're tracking with me here, okay? I think he was also in a wait-and-see approach to see what would happen with Auburn. I don't think it's a scenario of Oregon beating Auburn out for this guy. It feels like, again, I may be reading way too much into this, but it feels like it's possible Auburn may have gotten a bigger glimmer of hope with essentially the eligibility situation with Mantis. Now, that's not intel. That's speculation. I did talk to a guy that's really close with the program, and I could tell you the interaction, and it wouldn't make sense unless you know this person, okay? And what I gathered from the conversation was maybe that door wasn't all the way shut. And this was just like, what, two days ago with Mantis. So you have that conversation. I come away feeling like maybe that door is not all the way closed. And then, boom, Aristode commits to Oregon. Again, I'm adding things together, drawing conclusions here. Don't know a time frame, don't know details around it, but maybe that's a signal that things could be working out on that side, even if it's just 1 year. I think even if you only get him for 1 year, you are extremely excited because they think he's going to be that good. They think he could be that impactful in that 1 year. Exactly what Steven described, you know, a 2-3 combo guy, 6'6", that shoots over 40% from three, can play defense. He'd be the perfect addition. So was that a signal yesterday? We'll have to see. Again, there's no idea on time frame. No idea on time frame, no idea on specifics, but I just feel like Auburn's not going to let that guy go to Oregon if they feel like they can't get their other target. So we'll see how that one plays out. Let's talk about Jack Arse of the Week, sponsored by Jack Arse Rentals. If you're in the Auburn, Opelika, East Alabama, Columbus area and you need some type of heavy equipment, a rental, give them a call, 762-208-5013. If you need a boom lift, skid steer, mini X, whatever. You got a project and you want to do it yourself, but you just don't have the equipment, these are the guys you need to call. You use coupon code BARN10 at checkout or in person to save 10% off your order. My Jack Arse of the Week this week is the NCAA basketball tournament. Whoever decided we need to go to 76 teams, 78 teams. I don't even know the number because it's stupid. I think it's 76. We're going to have 12 play-in games now. Who asked for this? Legitimately point me to who asked for this. Auburn fans, Auburn basketball fans should be, I mean, in theory, if this is what we all wanted, Auburn basketball fans should be kind of celebrating like, man, that we would have been in the tournament last year. That's awesome. Now it's more at-large, potentially more Power Four at-large teams could get a spot at a play-in game or get a spot in the tournament. Literally, I don't know any Auburn basketball fan that was cheering for that, cheering for tournament expansion. And last year would have been a perfect scenario for Auburn to be a part of that potential expansion. I don't even think I'm going to be excited if we get an opportunity to play in a play-in game. But, like, even getting into a play-in game is going to be deflating. I mean, even getting into a play-in game is going to be like, man, we really got to turn things around next year. I know what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is have their cake and eat it too, okay? Because what they're trying to do is eliminate bid stealers or help remedy bid stealers, which that is Miami of Ohio, okay? Miami of Ohio was a really good mid-major, okay? They won all their games in the regular season and got beat in the tournament, okay? Well, that league typically only produces one typically only produces one team into the tournament. Well, now, because a different team won the tournament and you got Miami of Ohio who won 30 games against junior colleges, oh, man, we can't not put them in. They went undefeated. So now if you put two teams out of that conference, that steals a bid from potentially a Power Four. And then, in theory, it dilutes the field. Okay, it makes the field weaker and you have some blowout games and they want to create better games. I've always wondered why you have a conference tournament that counts for a bid. That's always been something weird to me. So, like, you can win the conference tournament, which is what, 18 games? No. How many games do you play in a conference tournament? Auburn finished, regardless, it doesn't matter. The total number doesn't matter. You have a conference tournament where you play, you know, a lot of games, and that particular team that comes out victorious in that conference season does not get an automatic bid. But the team that just gets hot in a tournament gets in. How does that make sense? And then you have a regular season champion, and then you have a tournament champion. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So you hang different conference championship banners, and everybody wants to win the regular season championship. The tournament's awesome, but it just doesn't quite make sense. So if you want to eliminate bid stealers, just get rid of conference tournaments and just have a regular season champion. I know conference tournaments are fun, but that would make the most sense, wouldn't it? Instead of bringing in 76 teams, like, hold, nobody's going to watch those games except for the teams that are playing in them. Trying to fix stuff, like, there's so many other things that we could be fixing. There's so many other things the NCAA could be focusing on instead of this. It's like we want to, you know, it's kind of like sleight of hand. If we distract you over here, you won't focus on how bad we're failing over here. Makes no sense. Definitely, whoever decided to expand the NCAA basketball tournament is the jack arse of the week. Guys, great week of shows. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the comments. Thanks for all the feedback. We will talk again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.